Welcome to this week's Ortho Digest Arthroplasty Audio for May 4th, 2026. This week, we indexed 474 new orthopedic studies across 34 journals. 15 were tagged arthroplasty. We're covering the top 21 studies in this Arthroplasty Audio Digest, ranked by our impact algorithm based on journal tier and level of evidence. Let's start with our first study. Forlenza and colleagues published in JOA, titled Lidocaine-Bupivacaine Spinal Proves Safe and Effective in Outpatient Total Joint Arthroplasty. This prospective observational study evaluated the safety and efficacy of a fixed-dose spinal, combining 2 milliliters of 2% isobaric lidocaine and 0.7 milliliters of 0.5% bupivacaine with propofol sedation in outpatient primary total hip arthroplasty, total knee arthroplasty, and unicompartmental knee arthroplasty. Transient neurologic symptoms incidence was 0%, nausea occurred in 6.1%, urinary retention in 1.6%, and mean visual analog score on PACU arrival was 3.0. Motor block resolved at 198 minutes, ambulation was achieved at 235 minutes, and discharge criteria were met at 359 minutes, with total hip arthroplasty patients ambulating latest at 321 minutes versus unicompartmental knee arthroplasty at 226 minutes. One titled Surgical Practice Variation and Outcomes Regarding Single-Level Posterior Approach for Degenerative Lumbar Spondylolisthesis, a Canadian Spine Outcomes Research Network study. This multi-center retrospective study compared decompression alone versus decompression with instrumented fusion for single-level Meyerding grade I degenerative lumbar spondylolisthesis across seven Canadian provinces from 2015 to 2023. Both groups achieved significant improvement across all patient-reported outcome measures at 3, 12, and 24 months, with no statistically significant between-group difference at any time point. 824 direct anterior approach and 554 posterolateral approach cases from a single center between Hollenberg and colleagues published in JOA titled Surgeon Experience Influences Posterior Approach Total Hip Arthroplasty Dislocation Risk. But this study compared infection-related readmissions and five-year failure rates between one and two-component single-stage revision total knee arthroplasty for periprosthetic joint infection using a large national data. This systematic review and meta-analysis evaluated lower limb wearable sensors for objective postoperative monitoring in total hip arthroplasty and total knee arthroplasty. One limitation to note is that the study captures only immediate post-training alignment changes with no follow-up, making it impossible to determine whether these corrections persist. Moving on, De Silva and colleagues published in JOA titled Primary Total Knee Arthroplasty in Patients Who Have Neuromuscular Disorders and Genu Recurvatum Using a Rotating Hinge Implant, a case series with a mean four-year follow-up. This multi-center retrospective case series evaluated rotating hinge total knee arthroplasty outcomes in patients with neuromuscular disorders and genu recurvatum greater than 5 degrees between 2015 and 2021. 26 knees with poliomyelitis in 40.9%, idiopathic neuropathy in 31.8%, and Charcot neuroarthropathy in 22.8% were assessed with validated outcome scores at mean four-year follow-up. Failure rate was 7.7%, with mean knee society score of 72.4. One limitation to note is the absence of a comparative cohort with alternative implant constraint levels, which prevents determination of whether rotating hinge constraint is necessary for all neuromuscular recurvatum cases. Moving on, Pumilia and colleagues published in JAOS titled Acute Total Hip Arthroplasty for Acetabular Fractures. This review examines the role of acute total hip arthroplasty with or without concurrent fracture fixation for acetabular fractures in patients with identifiable poor prognostic features, including severe acetabular impaction, femoral head lesions, and advanced age. Acute total hip arthroplasty was found to reduce revision surgery rates compared to open reduction and internal fixation alone, and to improve complication profiles compared to delayed conversion arthroplasty after failed fixation. These benefits come at the cost of greater initial surgical insult, and the underlying evidence base is heterogeneous with limited follow-up duration. One limitation to note is the absence of formal systematic methodology with pooled data, making it impossible to extract quantitative revision rate thresholds. And finally, Tramini and colleagues published an international orthopedics titled Monoblock Dual Mobility Cups in Total Hip Arthroplasty for Low-Grade Hip Dysplasia, a retrospective series with a mean 10 years follow-up. This single-center retrospective series evaluated monoblock dual mobility total hip arthroplasty outcomes in CROW 1 to 2 developmental dysplasia of the hip over a minimum 10-year follow-up. All functional scores improved significantly, with Harris hip score improving from 48 to 98. No dislocations, aseptic loosening, periprosthetic fractures, or infections occurred, yielding 100% Kaplan-Meier implant survival at 10 years. One limitation to note is that the 25-patient sample is underpowered to detect rare but clinically important complications, making the 100% survival figure statistically fragile. That's your Ortho Digest arthroplasty audio for this week. 21 studies reviewed. Head to orthodigest.com for the full write-ups.